I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. It's Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell. Scott, former NFL quarterback, gives us his point of view every night right here on the program, 7 to 9 p.m. You can also download the podcast wherever podcasts are found and download the KSL Sports app. You can also stream the show there. You can also just click on the old podcast button there and then just start listening. Boom.
So why is it an old button?
The old button.
The old button.
Yeah. Now you can listen to us. You can listen to us there.
Is it just that it's well worn and it's friendly?
It's like ye olde button. Yeah. No. Yes. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's like a. Sorry. Here we go.
When you call something old, you can trust it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can count on it.
Good old.
It's had experience. Old faithful. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. Wyoming kid came up with that one.
There you go. That's where
you, I'm going to call you old Alex.
There's old Alex Carey. There. Lots of experience. The Washington Nationals are on the verge here. I say the verge. They're four innings away still from being able to lock this one up. But they scored seven runs early on this St. Louis Cardinals bunch who, you know, they ran up 10 runs against the Braves in the last round in their final decisive game. So they know what it's like. They know it's over when it's pretty early. But now it's 7-1 after a Yadier Molina homer to get him back in it. But the Nationals, what a fun story that is. I mean, that is – I just
teams have gone up 3-0 and then lost, right?
Only one.
There's only been one.
Only one.
Yeah, it was
2004
Yankees Red Sox.
2004 Yankees.
Remember that was historic. Yeah,
it was the one.
It doesn't happen often.
Yeah,
and it was because before that it was no team had ever done it.
Yep.
And then when it happened,
that's why that team was such a miracle.
Yes, and to come back, but in this fashion, it wasn't there. It was the kind of thing where they won game four. Pretty easily. And then they won game five, and it was like, okay, 3-2. And when they won game six, everyone went, hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. Even sending it to game six is like a 98% chance they won't get to game six. So I'm just saying, a pretty cool story, though, for the Nats, who, of course, gave up their now $300 million Bryce Harper to finally be able to get to NLCS and now the World Series. I can't imagine.
Maybe it's addition by subtraction. You get rid of the bad wood, the bad.
But here's the thing.
Who knows?
Here's the thing.
The old Ewing theory.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. If you're Bryce Harper, these are a lot of your buddies, though. I mean, he likes a lot of these cats.
Oh, sure.
These are, and they like him. The people who are grumpy are the stinking fans, right?
Right.
I mean, that's in the end of it.
All these guys in the clubhouse are taking the $300 million.
Every one of them, and they're happy that he took it.
Yeah.
They're not mad at all. They thought that having Bryce Harper would make them a better team, but certainly going to the World Series was not something they had in the cards for them.
They were 19-31.
The second half of the season, right? Isn't that what it was?
They were done. They were in last place in the NL East.
Yeah.
Well, crazy story.
There they are. All right. So, Jeremiah, we've been having a couple of discussions here. One is the officiating in the NFL is, and I'm just throwing these at you, we have or have not run past these story ideas by you?
No.
Okay, so these are fresh coming to you, and these are other – and people who are listening, it's happening to them too. The officiating problem in the NFL is what? Because I'm telling you, we begged for all this replay.
The officiating problem in the NFL is ruining the game.
You think so?
Yeah. What are we talking about? What are we talking about this week? What did we talk about after the NFC Championship game last year?
Barry Sanders talking about after the game last night.
Everything, all the talk about last night, it was a game that came down to the end, field goals made, battle between two division rivals, and all we're talking about is the officiating, how bad it was. We're talking about this all the time.
Is it because
so the officials just need to be invisible? They need to be a non...
Yes.
I mean, really, they need...
Yeah. Why are they constantly a story? It's always a story in the NFL.
Is it because of how much we've started to rely on replay? Because for example, the pass interference, being able to challenge a pass interference or a non pass interference.
Only one has been overturned all year. There's been like 40 challenges.
Why did they even pass this as a thing?
Because they had the pressure. They had to do it. Because I think they resent it.
Championship game.
Yeah.
And the officials have always looked at this as being subjective.
Yeah.
It's all just a matter of like, did he impede his progress or how much, or there's always some kind of contact on both sides of the deal here. And if we really got nitpicky about this, we could end up calling pass interference every single play.
Right.
Kind of like almost holding. You could almost call holding on every single play. And you get to a point where you just go, look, enough is enough on this. But
they're calling everything. There's more penalties than ever.
I think
it's too much.
I think part of it, though, is the cameras. There's just so many cameras.
There are a lot.
There's so many
angles.
You make
a great point.
You can see it at a level now.
When we watch it in slow motion, we're all refs, right?
Right.
Oh, look at the tip of the football. You know, like it immediately becomes – the crazy thing was is that –
We're watching it in slow motion. We're like, how did he not see that?
Right.
Well, because it happened at like 50,000 times faster than what you just
saw.
What's
crazy is,
so we ask officials about this, and they said, we see an action. So what they saw is the leveraged arm. So they just see the leveraged arm.
Yeah, you're talking about the calls last night.
Right, the calls last night.
Illegal hands to the face.
And so it looks like it. Like mm-hmm. when I looked at it, I go, but then you – then you have the luxury, and you see that he's grabbed onto the interior of his shoulder pads. And I think he did that so he wouldn't have hands to the face. He could still get that leverage. And I actually even wonder if it's taught.
Oh,
it would be smart if
coaches.
It was.
These offensive line coaches.
It's a brilliant move because it allows you to get that leverage that you need up high, but you're not grabbing them by the face.
So I was talking about we were talking about this over the weekend. The new technique to blocking the back on kick returns and punt returns is to block the guy in the back, but you just do it with your back, with your hands up.
Yep. So put your hands up in the air.
You push a guy. I mean, the guy's right there. You just get right backed up to him, and you're pushing that guy in his back, but you're doing it with your back, with your hands in the air. And nope, there's never been a flag on it because the referees are like, I don't know how to call that. I mean, push the guy in the back, but he just did it with his butt, you know? So there are techniques that are taught. And are you kidding, Scott? You know O-line coaches in the NFL. They keep their jobs by having
they all have their
dirty techniques.
Yeah.
It's absolutely dirty.
It's the NFL, and it's highly competitive, and guys are looking for any edge they can get.
The real problem on Sunday was I was watching live the moment during the Cowboys-Jets game when that sixth penalty in a row.
Yeah, that was a debacle.
And on TV, I don't know who was calling it for Romo was on there calling it. It was Nance and Romo. And, and Nance goes – are you kidding me? Can we play a football game?
Yeah.
And I was like, and Tony Romo's like, that's a terrible call. And I'm going, it was against, you know, when it was against the Jets, against his Cowboys. And they're calling these penalties, and you're going, oh my goodness, they called that because it's Jason Witten. Or at the end of the game, I can't believe they didn't make that call or whatever. And so we get stopped six plays in a row with laundry on the field. And we say, are we playing football anymore? Are we watching the game that we grew up watching? But we all begged for this. We all begged that we could have replay to show us everything. And now it does, and we're sick of it. And we don't like – and we are. And the referees go, fine, we have all the replay, so we'll just lean on the replay.
I just think the NFL really tries to get it right, though.
Right.
Maybe they're trying too hard, and maybe they've just gone too far with it. But I know there are calls that go wrong, and I know they have a huge impact on it. It's not just, you know, hey, we can't worry about the officiating, but I'm telling you, there are calls that, yeah, you need to worry about it. And so it's a little perplexing to me because I just feel like the NFL spends a lot of money, a lot of time, and I know these officials are graded and they're evaluated and they weed out guys that are bad, and so, and they really work hard to get to that level and do a good job. So I don't know what's happening and what's going on.
Does I doubt everybody that's listening right now knows that the referees in the NFL are not full time.
You know, I think that,
and that's
think
something they need to look at,
right? Yeah. And when they go, oh yeah, Ed Hockley, he's a lawyer. Attorney. Yeah, he's a lawyer during the offseason down in Phoenix or whatever. And you go, why? And then I say why because I go, shouldn't just his offseason be him studying film constantly and trying to figure it out? Now they're well paid.
Yeah, but if the announcers aren't full time either. I mean, Tony Romo was a professional golfer in his off season.
But what the announcers do golfer. Doesn't have an impact on the it's on true. The game. It doesn't it's it true. Doesn't impact the integrity yeah. of the game.
I'm just being funny, but it really is a great point, and it may change things if that
is
was
there.
The
a,
case.
Are yeah. the are the NBA referees full time?
Yes, they are. Major League Baseball full time.
The
NFL is the only major pro sport where the referees are not full time referees.
Why is that?
I mean,
is there
a pension?
The season's short.
No, I know, but I'm saying, is there a pension set up for those guys? I mean, does the NFL have the same?
I don't know all the reasons why. I think that the NFL's been able to get away with it. Remember when the refs went on strike?
Oh, yeah.
And things were really bad.
Things were really bad. I think that's why we can still remember a little bit of, yeah, this isn't an easy job.
It's
and
not.
Sometimes when they make calls and they show it the replay, you go, that guy's pretty good. Yeah. that guy made a heck of a call in real time. JJ, real quick before we get out, what do we have going on Sports Beat this evening?
Remember that cute story last year about Utah State being picked ninth and winning the Mountain West?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Expectations are a little different this year.
Oh, yeah. Boy, like, and I don't know if you want
a lot
these.
Different.
I don't know if you want this level of expectations.
Yeah, I know. It's they want to be they want to be good again. Well, this is what happens. So I'll tell you why there's a lot of pressure on Utah State this year.
All right. Tune in to KSL 5 News at 10 o'clock. JJ. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Of course.
Always Anytime. Glad to bounce stuff off of JJ. We're taking the break here. More to go. MVP's next, right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.